myself, James Gordon, and as ever, I'm joined by Mike Parsons. We'll go through the latest burning issues, if you like, around Withers. We'll talk about the Halifax game on Sunday, round up a few other bits and bobs that are going on, and then go through our predictions for the weekend ahead. Widnes got another home game against York on Sunday. Mike, let's start then with your thoughts on the Halifax game. Of course, I always give a little snapshot of my thoughts on Twitter after a match, and that my position on it was that it was a point loss rather than a point gained.
Yeah, Widnes outside the top six. If you're dropping points at home to a top six rival, that's dropping points as far as I'm concerned. I think especially the manner you've done it, 16 points to nil. We was in cruise control, weren't we? I thought Halifax's middles and the, you know, in the opening stages, you know, was really making meters. But we settled in after about say 8-10 minutes, and we looked with the ball certainly as confident as I've probably seen us all season. Mason again, very, very dangerous in periods. Thought Jack Owens was outstanding at standoff. That's what I kind of, my shout was for him being at standoff. I know there's obviously reasons why Joe Lyons couldn't play. So it'd be interesting whether Jack keeps that position next week or not. But what Jack brings in that position is a balance to the kicking game, long distance, because when he's at fullback and you've got Lyons and Gilmore in the halves, he can chip in and kick the ball on the last, whereas in the centre, you're kind of disrupting everything to bring him inwards to kick the ball, because Tom and obviously Joe are not that great at long distance kicking, as we've seen with the debate on the final hooter. Obviously, a lot of people have got different opinions over that one. But yeah, going back to the first half, I think, yeah, 39 minutes, it was going all too well. And then I've got to be honest, a very, in my opinion, very poor defensive reading in the centres on the far side, south stand side, by Max Roberts. And you give Halifax an opening, and my thoughts were at half time was, we can't let this go to how it did when we narrowly beat Huntslet away, where we wobbled for 10, 15 minutes, because we was playing, you know, a much better team, a team that are currently in the top six. And Adam Lawton, who I thought was fantastic all game, I think that's probably the fittest I've ever seen Adam as well. Andy was playing back row, and for him to play back row, he needs to be in that condition and shape, defending a bit out wide. But I thought he was absolutely fantastic. I thought he caused them problems all day. It was a great offload by him, but unfortunately, you know, Morgan McWhirters was one too many, and bang, try. And then before you know it, you're behind, and you kind of sit back and you think, how's this happened? And ultimately, I think, again, you've got to look at, you know, the frailties and the side of the confidence. People have mentioned a bit of fitness as well, but it's definitely a mindset thing and mentality, mate, because it's happened all too often this season. The final stages at Batley, you know, we was in front. We had two periods at home against Featherstone where they blew us away in short 8-10 minute bursts. Similar with Barrow. And, you know, we got away with one away at Huntslet, and it's unfortunately happened again. And it's sad watching, to be honest. It is sad watching.
I mean, if Widnes had won the game, so if they'd have scored one more point in the match, they would have been fifth in the league. And I've made some comments about, there's some hysteria going around from people saying, oh, relegation, etc. Widnes are as close to third place in the table as they are to the bottom four. But that's notwithstanding the fact that Widnes should have won that game. I agree with most of what you said. I thought Widnes, actually, the first half, they were very good. That was probably the best, one of the best they've probably played. you know, the first 20 minutes was a bit of an arm wrestle and they stuck with it and then scored some good tries. And yeah, if they'd gone in at 16-0, it might have been a different game. I actually thought in the second half, where Halifax started, where they struggled to get it back off Halifax was the lack of middles. So when Dan Murray wasn't on, you've just not got anyone with any size really to hold up. And when they've got Calcott and Brandon Douglas having a good game, they're going to run over you. And I think it all boils down to the personnel situation. You know, Liam Kirk going after Riley's gone and Lannan's already gone. They're three of your bigger players, Riley, Lannan and Kirk, in terms of size, in terms of middles. And with all due respect to McWhirter, he's absolutely nowhere near the size of any of them. Them three players have left, and effectively their three replacements are Mason, McWhirter and Lawton. So it's no wonder you're short a size in the middle. And I thought that was probably a key issue in the second half. But yeah, to go from 16-0 up and be in such a good position to getting away with a draw in the end, when Halifax really only had to play for 10 minutes really. They didn't do anything fancy. They were just completing sets. Actually, I think three of their tries were off kicks, weren't they? So they scored three tries off kicks. The one that Johnson scored at the start of the second half, which was probably the most pivotal one, Hansen had been kicking to the other wing every time and Reece Williams was catching him. And it was only because Tibbs, the winger, had come in on the fifth tackle and got tackled in midfield. He actually looked, if you watch it on the highlights and, you know, watching it live, he looked to kick to the right and then he realised, oh, my winger's not there. I'll have to just hook it to the left. And fair play to Johnson. He got up for it. I mean, Johnson looks 10 times the player at centre than we ever saw him when he was playing on the wing, by the way. I feel quite demoralised at the moment with everything that's going on and stuff. It's hard to, you know, and you know, Alan Coleman's post-match, you can tell he's a bit demoralised by the situation and, you know, it's like we're losing players but we can't bring any in, but we're not really getting any explanation from anybody why that's the case. I mean, fair play, Alan fronts up every week and explains his side of it, but we don't really hear from anybody else explaining, well, why have we lost, you know, why have we lost these? Because bearing in mind, you mentioned the Batley game there, Riley, Lannan and Kirk all played, as far as I can recall, against Batley. And Alan Coleman was calling for reinforcements then. He wanted more bodies then. And you've lost them players. You're actually, the squad is actually worse off now than it was when we lost to Batley. And we never really get an explanation as to why. I probably need to stop making suggestions in the podcast because I've seen quite a few people comment on it, but you know, nothing really happens. I noticed that they've updated the shop on the website, the online shop, after the podcast the other week where I said it was still showing last year's squad picture. I noticed that they've updated that now. But why does it take six, seven months, and for me to mention it in a podcast for that to be fixed? Like, why is that even why is that the thing? Do you know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's a bit of a demoralizing time, to be perfectly honest, at the moment. But at the same time, I think the whole hysteria about relegation is way off. I don't think that's not going to be an issue.
No, absolutely not. Not for me. Certainly not yet anyway. But no, I don't think we'll be in danger of that. Look, we may be in danger of slipping into the bottom four, potentially. But I think we're a lot better.
Even with that, sorry, Mike, even with that, I mean, I know Sheffield will pick up a little bit now. But we've still got 50% more points than Sheffield. You know what I mean?
I think where the worry comes for people, which I sympathise with to a point, if Sheffield pick up a bit of form, we've got York, Toulouse and Oldham in our next three games, and that is a tough run of games. And if you don't pick up any wins out of that, it's a case then of where does that leave you? And, you know, so far, were sanctioning players through our decision leaving the club. We was led to believe Martin Riley was our choice to let him go. All right, Adam Lawton's come in, fair enough, but it's only a month's loan.
Well, and if Riley, I'm reading it, if Riley doesn't go, Kirk doesn't go, does he?
Exactly. So why are we sanctioning deals like that if we've not got anybody ready to come in? Because as far as I'm concerned, usually when a player departs on a permanent basis, it causes a domino effect across the rugby league world where a couple of two, three, four transfers go through and permanent ones. Whereas if we've had someone in line who's meant to come, who for whatever reason hasn't, then I'd be putting the handbrake on Riley and Kirk going out. And I know that can cause alternative problems of whether them players are going to be all firing for you and playing for you. But you've got to think there's someone out there waiting to come this way who could potentially be in the mix of a squad somewhere. And I just don't think, me personally, I think that's a poor call, letting two players go permanently with nobody permanently coming in. And by the way, already we fell for the five-card trick of Luke Thomas playing for Warrington's reserves instead of us, which is just the icing on the cake. And I think that's where fans get agitated. But going back to the original point, I don't believe we'll be in danger of relegation whatsoever. Do I think we'll be in the playoffs? No, I don't. But I don't think that we'll be anywhere near them.
I mean, the situation with the Thomas situation is just ridiculous. And I don't actually think the club helped themselves. I mean, they announced Thomas on dual reg until the end of the season. Well, what does that even mean? It doesn't mean anything.
Season-long dual reg? What the hell is that? That's just dual reg?
Yeah, it is. And I don't know why they feel the need to announce it, because it just creates unrealistic expectations, you know what I mean? And it's like, now, well, hang on, you announced him on, he was on dual reds till the end of the season. He played one match and already he's not playing. And it's just a complete, and Widnes probably, if Luke Thomas played on Sunday, Widnes probably would have won. Let's get it right. Yeah. If he'd have played on Sunday, Widnes probably would have won. And whatever's happening, like I say, there's only Alan Coleman who's having to front up for it. No one's explaining why the club deciding to announce it in that way, and why is he not playing? Are the club calling Warrington out for what they're doing? I don't see anybody doing it. And it's like, that's the frustrating part, I think, for me now, is you're almost, I put on Twitter as well, my son's actually been, he doesn't go with me because I'm working, you know, but my son's actually been every home game this season, because the home games have been that few and far between that it's just so happened to fall that he could make them all. And he's asking me, like, is Duffy playing? And I mean, I missed the game that Duffy played because I was doing a cup semi-final, wasn't I think? And it made me think when he asked me, and I had to explain to him, oh, well, he was only on loan, or he was only on it. And he's like, well, he had a loan for one match. And it's explaining, you know, so my son's come to a match. They got beat. They got, you know, got comfortably beat by Featherstone, basically. But my son, Nan, has engaged with a player that he's then asked, you know, he's remembered him and he's asking me about him more. Why is he not playing? And it's like, you explain to him, well, the club's scraping around that much that we get a player and then, you know, he disappears. And you've just got, I think the club's just got to think, well, where are you even going with this? Like, how do you expect to keep people engaged and keep people going? You know, like Halifax, again, prime example. Halifax had Nolan Tapia playing against on Widnes on Sunday. He signed for them on a season-long loan from Warrington till the end of the season, whatever. He was 18th man for Widnes, wasn't he, for one of the games. And you're just like, what is the point? Like, what, you know, what is the point of this charade now?
There is absolutely no doubt about it. I think one of the biggest things for me going into next season that has to be addressed, it has to be addressed by, obviously, Alan himself, and I'm sure he will, and obviously the board as well, is how we're setting up our squads going into a season, because 6-7 players departing at the halfway stage, for me, when you're selling season tickets for people, that is just, not even at championship level is that good enough. That is just, it's just way too much. And fans are right to be complaining over that, because it's just not on at all.
Well, Widnes started with a 25-man squad. I mean, there was 26 in theory. Mackenzie Buckley left before they announced the 25-man squad. But six of that 25-man squad are no longer at the club. So that's basically 25% of the squad have gone. They've only brought in three players, really, not including Lawton, Mason McWhirter and Reece Williams, not including Lawton because he's on loan. But you're just like, you know, what is the point? You've basically got 22-year-old players. You know, you're looking at Oldham in a few weeks. Well, presumably Lawton's not going to be playing in that match. So who on earth's going to play?
But this is the thing, James. And every time we talk about it, there's another example a couple of weeks off. And you think, right, you know, Martin Riley and Kirk have gone, you know, we're waiting. Nothing arrives. Then you get a loan that lasts for a couple of weeks and goes off. And that has been the theme throughout the season. And sticking with Warrington, exactly. You know, I don't think too many listeners would be surprised to hear me say this dual reg partnership cannot go on after the end of this season. It's never worked for us before with Warrington, and I just don't see it changing in the future. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, well, Leon Hayes apparently is not far off fitness now, so he's going to be offered around to a few clubs. I can't imagine. I just don't see any reason for Widnes to take him, to be perfectly honest. Because there's no point. You know, what's the point in having him for one game and then just no point? You might as well. Yeah, I am demoralised with the situation, but I feel like it's almost Widnes's own doing in some ways. They need, at some point, someone's got to stand up and be counted a little bit and be like, right, let's have a bit of pride about ourselves here. You know, if you're short on money, well, communicate that you're short on money. I'm sure fans would. I know Widnes Vips is there, but if the club needs help to raise more funds, then ask. Publicise.
And there's one thing about this fan base, mate. We've seen it time and time again over the years. If something like that was to happen in whatever way of somebody speaking out, London and so on and so forth, you'd have so many people coming forward who'd want to offer the services and help in whatever way possible.
And to be fair, you know, the business club thing is, you know, there's been a few post on social media about that this week that people have taken up. So that's obviously bringing money into the club. But, you know, all that's happening at the moment is you're demoralising people to the point where they won't buy the season ticket. And then you become even, you know, finding money for players becomes even harder when you've got less fans. I don't know what it is. I'm just on a bit of a downer with it at the moment, to be honest, because I just see things that could be a lot better than they are, and I don't know what factors are preventing them from being better.
I think ultimately we started behind the eight ball with our squad size. I really do, and I just don't think we've recovered from it. We've just been scrambling all year. And well, when you're scrambling in a transfer market and recruitment, I think it was okay
when, like, there was a lot of talk about the three lads that left earlier in the season. I don't think that made any difference. I think when we were running at 22 and you still had Riley, Lannan and Kirk, I thought you were in a decent place. If you still had that squad and you'd added Mason and McWhirter to that squad, I think you'd probably be in an all right spot. But the problem is that you've not added them two to that squad. You've lost even more than you already had. Obviously, there's a few in, you know, Danny Langtree getting injured, whatever. But Langtree's actually the only missing forward. You know, he's actually the only injured forward at the moment. If any of them forwards go down, Evan knows who's going to play.
No, and again, I feel like a bit of a broken record, but how many times do we have to speak about, you know, getting I don't want to use bully, but you're getting overrun in the forwards. And it was clear to see, I think at one point we had Gregson propping coming off the back fence, and it was like, what on earth's gone on here? Like, how have we allowed this to happen? How have we got in a world where we've let Martin Riley and Kurt go, and that's even a thing? And like you say, I don't think Halifax's squad on Sunday was massively strong, but they had a couple of big blokes in the middle, like you said, Will Calcott, Brandon Douglas, two very good props of getting most sides in this championship. But that's all they needed, and the halfbacks played off that and got the points and capitalised on mistakes we picked up. But having to play like 65, 70 minutes where you're talking, right, this is really good, this, and a side has basically beat you in 15 minutes, like, that's, you know, it's a hard watch for a supporter. It really is, because, like you say, if we could have had one, maybe two more middles in that team, this podcast is a different podcast, James, because I firmly believe we'd have won that game, and we might even have kicked on and won by more.
Yeah, and to be honest, not with, you know, taking into consideration what we've just said, I actually thought 65, 70 minutes on Sunday, I thought Widnes were very good. I thought first half, they were very good. Like, if they'd play like that every week, they'd certainly have won more games than they have. But I think there's just this underlying frustration at some of the things that we've gone through that you're talking about week after week. And there's not, we're almost identifying a problem, but then it's still a problem the following, week. And it's like, when is someone actually going to do anything about it? You know, and now you go into these two games against York and Toulouse, where you need a result from one of them two home games. Otherwise, it's, you, like I said, I think playoffs is already looking difficult. Well, we're not out of touch because they're not far behind, but I think
it's going to take some monumental performances to pull it back, because it's not just about pulling the points back. It's, like I say, it's the next running of the next three games and where you are after that Oldham game, because the fixtures probably get a little bit kinder after that. But you've got to be in touching distance, and Doncaster are improving, Sheffield are picking up a little bit. You know, it's the sides around you that are picking up. It's the sides, like, you know, obviously Halifax being one, potentially looking a little bit vulnerable of staying in the six, and Barrow potentially, they've already got the leg up against us, and it's them sides who are wobbling a bit.
Well, like I've said, I think the top four will be the top four, not necessarily in that order. The top four will be the top four, and I think the bottom three will be the bottom three. But I think how many does that leave? the six teams in between could finish, you know, anywhere. I think, like, look at Featherstone. I think Featherstone have won. If they won four out of five or something, they've gone from being well behind us to now, like, going past. They've won four out of the last. Oh, that's an 8-9-5 cup. They have won four out of the last five. I was right. In the league, they've gone from nowhere to overtaking Widnes, and you're just like, you've got to get the results on the board, and Widnes have got this tough run, and then Doncaster at home would be a big game. Bradford at home would be a big game.
It's the 208 points scored as well.
Yeah, once you get past this run to Oldham, and then you look at it and think, well, Doncaster at home, Bradford at home, Sheffield away, Batley at home, Barrow away, Featherstone away, Hunslet at home, Halifax away, London at home. You've got the big, in the next few weeks, you've got the top four out of the way, you know.
Yeah.
To lose York, Oldham, who are going to be three of the top four, they're going to be out of the way. Then you've got Doncaster, then Bradford, and then your last seven games are all against teams in the bottom nine, if you like. But I tell you what you say. I mean, the issue is that even in them games, it's not like Widnes have been pulling up any trees in them games.
And like I say, you know, you look at the Barrow home performance and the Featherstone home performance, you know, was comfortably beaten. And they're at home, they was and are playoff rivals. And You know, I think they're the type of games when we look back on the season, if we're not to make the six, which it's definitely, you know, at the moment, you'd have to say, looking unlikely, they're the performances where we'll have probably lost it, you know?
Yeah. Well, speaking of players or playoff rivals, one player that we had heard was meant to be coming back was Owen Farnworth. Now that I think he's my understanding is that he signed for next season, and there was a hope that he would come earlier in this campaign, but Oldham are now keeping hold of him because they're worried about availability of some of their players. Another half rumour I've heard is that maybe Danny Craven is another player that might be making the way back from Oldham. Again, please. I presume the next season, but yeah, I don't know. That they're the only things really that I'm hearing at the moment. So
I've got to be honest, James. Look, I know you've put your foot forward in terms of, you know, I class Danny as a witness player, so to speak. If we're looking at Danny Craven as the way forward, I'm concerned. He's at the wrong end of his career. You've got to be looking past that for me. I don't mind Owen Farnworth coming back. I don't mind Adam Lawton coming back. But all these players together, let's not forget, didn't make a playoff campaign for Widnes. And we've got to be very careful we don't just sign them for signing's sake. Because Danny Craven, that is not looking any more forward than a year or two. Or he's got a good left foot. And I just think we can't be going down that route. That'd be a no from me.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I would imagine it's probably dependent on, you know, you certainly wouldn't run with Patton, Craven and Gilmore, I don't assume. So, yeah, we'll see. But that, like I say, I think that's the other thing at the moment. You're not really hearing the things that make you think things are going to get any better. And I think that's what contributes to the overall apathy at the moment. But hey, let's move on. There's a pop-up museum. Are they calling it a pop-up museum in Widnes Market? So of course, Widnes Market, which used to host the club shop, which is no longer there, but apparently it's now got a temporary pop-up museum, which I really like. I think there should be the museum at the ground, you know, when it was at the ground, I think it's important that the club celebrates that. And I think it would be nice if there was a permanent showcase somewhere. I don't know what the funding situation looks like with the market, but again, that's another thing where if there was somehow a way of fundraising to keep a presence at the market, whether it be the heritage thing or otherwise, again, that's something where why not ask the fans or people like that? Because I think that's ultimately the strongest thing Widnes have got is its heritage. That's its strongest. I mean, to be honest, I'd probably extend that to rugby league in general, to be perfectly honest. I mean, the rugby league hasn't had a museum of its own since they've been threatening to do one for 10 or 15 years and they never have. And I actually think you lose an awful lot not celebrating that sort of stuff. So it's good to see that museum. I don't know, as I say, someone might message me and tell me what the situation is with it, but I'm sure if there was a case of it needed to have X amount raised to keep it going, I'm sure that's something that people would get behind. Another bit of news is the Widnes Vips AGM is at the New Albion on 16th July at 7 p.m. If you're a Vips member, get along to that. That's just one of them dot on the ice crossing. I don't know whether there's any votes or motions being suggested, but that's, if you want to get involved with Widnes Vips, that's the place to be. Have you got anything for me, Mike?
Not this week in terms of questions, but I do need to reach out to people and get some for the next one, because obviously we missed a week last week, didn't we? So we will get back to Q&As next week for sure.
Yep, so let's, predictions, I can't remember where we were at. Oh, we had a week off, didn't we, so we didn't have predictions. This week's games then, let's look ahead to them. There's a couple of Friday games this week. Actually, there's something else we could talk about, but we'll talk about that after we've gone through this. Bradford versus Batley is on Friday. Now, in fact, we'll talk about it now. Bradford have got a few Friday games coming up. And that, in turn, has enabled them to accommodate Halifax, who are going to be playing at Oddsall for the foreseeable future. Fortunately, Halifax's first game back at the Shea is going to be against Widnes. So Widnes have swerved another trip to Oddsall. I mean, imagine back. I mean,
well, I was going to say, before you start moaning about the loan system and playing, imagine that one. That'd be the cherry on the cake, wouldn't it?
Yeah, imagine buying a season ticket and then midway through the year, they tell you that five home games are going to be at Bradford, at Oddsall. Jesus. Yeah, so that's an interesting one to look out for. Actually, because actually they play Halifax, Halifax play Bradford in that run, and it's actually a Halifax home game and it's going to be at Bradford.
Oh. I mean, that's rugby league in it for you in the championship.
Well, it's funny because Bradford away from home have won 6 out of 7. Yeah. But then I think at home they've only won 1 out of 5 or something like that, something stupid like that. I'm sure that's right. Let me.
Well, one of them was Widnes. That'd be a shock to people.
Yeah, let me. I'm sure. Let me just double check that I've got that right. I might be off by 1 or 2. Oh no, I'm miles off. Sorry. They've won. Bradford won 3 out of 5, so they've won 3 out of 5 at home, but they've won 6 out of 7 away, so they've got a much better win ratio away from home. Anyway, Batley have sacked a coach after they got, I mean, this will depress you a little bit, Mike. Batley's results of late: they conceded 50 at home to Doncaster. They conceded 30 at home to Toulouse. They conceded 48 at home to Bradford. They got beat by Hunslet at home, but of course they did beat Widnes at home. And in fact, other than when they won London Broncos away, they're the only wins that they've registered this season. So
yeah, and again, one of them. Results that I think will fall in the bracket of the Featherstone and the Barrow one when you're looking back on the season. If we're not to make the six, they'll be the type of games which have meant we've missed out.
Yeah, so Mark Mox and the Batley coach is gone, but Bradford surely an easy win there, you'd say, even with a new coach bounce.
God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if Conrad Oral, Wonga Blake, Jaden Ockenbo, imagine them coming down the hill at you. No, for me. So yeah.
Well, you say that, but how's Comerall going to get up the hill?
Well, yeah, that's a point. Maybe it'd be half time sub. Or
yeah, another Friday night game. Actually, well, if you fancy going out on Friday night, Featherstone against Halifax is usually a tasty one. I'm going to back Featherstone. They're on a bit of an uplifting form.
Yeah, they just strengthened. Pat Moran's just coming on loan from Oldham, which another one to throw into the mix of Owen Farnworth not being released, if that is meant to be true or if there's anything in it, another bit of an ex-scratcher in that one. But yeah, Featherstone are bubbling along nicely, and I have said for a couple of weeks now that that they'll make the six, providing that they stay relatively healthy. Halifax, I've got to be honest, they got pumped in the last couple of games, and then they come to our place. And apart from Brandon Douglas, Jack Hansen busy in periods, and Will Calcott, I can see them starting to drop. I wasn't that impressed with David Nofaluma. I know he was playing.
Oh no, yeah.
Yeah, Dally M in 2020 to performances like that.
He was just so casual, like, you know. Yeah, he was just sauntering over to the ball and then putting it down, and you're just like, it's not great, is it? I actually think Woodburn Hall's a decent fullback, and he's obviously playing in the halves now. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you, Featherstone. I think yeah.
Saturday is Toulouse versus Oldham.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting one, isn't it? Because Oldham have recruited a bit and they've kicked back where they had a bit of a wobble. Toulouse were going all right, and then a couple of head scratches when the London Broncos result come in. That was a heck of an effort by the Broncos. Yeah. In fairness to them.
Yeah, they've won seven in a row, Toulouse. They've actually only lost at home to Widnes, believe it or not. That's the only home game, and then they lost that one at Doncaster. They've won seven on the spin. They don't really blow anybody away, but they blew Hunslet away, and they beat Bradford a bit heavily at the start of the season. But in recent weeks, they've not been blowing anyone away, but you just always sense that they've got enough to beat teams.
They find a way, don't they, usually, more often than not. I'm going to go for Toulouse, James, but look, will not surprise me if Oldham pull one out the bag, because I imagine they'll be taking a decent following out there with it being the first year as well.
Yeah, I think I'll go Toulouse. Sunday's games, Hunslet against Barrow.
Seen a bit of a campaign with Hunslet. They put heck of a display in, didn't they, at Featherstone, and a lot of people said they was unlucky not to clinch it. Good to see Brett Bailey playing in that game as well and getting minutes. So that's a good sign for Widnes if he's to kickstart his career at Widnes at some stage. But yeah, they made a big thing of it, Hunslet, this game in terms of targeting it. But I think Barrow have just got enough. I think they've just got enough in them.
I'm going to go Hunslet. I don't know. I think with it being at Hunslet, I think Barrow are a little bit vulnerable at the moment. I did say the other week that I felt that Barrow and Halifax would sort of tumble away from the top four and be more looking over, you know, they'd be the teams at risk of coming out of the playoffs. And Barrow, I think, have gone, four without a win now. So they've sort of forgot what it. I think losing at home to Sheffield. I think the games they lost before Featherstone to lose, you can sort of forgive that. But losing at home to Sheffield, I think, is a bit of an upset for them. So I wonder whether they're just doing it tough a little bit at the minute. Sheffield Doncaster is another game on Sunday, and that's possibly a big game from a. Well, I mean, they're all big, I suppose, but a big game from a Widnes point of view, because of course if Sheffield were to beat Doncaster, then that really drags them into this middle chunk of teams. But if Doncaster beat Sheffield, then they'll, of course, well, unless Widnes win, they'll move two more above Widnes, and all of a sudden Widnes then start getting marooned in ninth a little bit. So it's actually the outcome of that game might have a sway on how comfortable Widnes' position in the table is.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Doncaster. I think they've been bubbling along nicely. Edin Gebbie's been in red hot form for them this season. Looks a real weapon, dangerous from deep. The South Sea Islanders, when they turn it on, they've got a good few of them there. They're hard to handle. Doncaster's problem is staying consistent. They've put in some great performances and then others have been way below par. I think that's the only thing with Doncaster. If they could keep to their top level, they're a playoff team. There's no doubt about it. But the bottom level, there's too big of a gap in between at the moment, and that'd be their challenge between now and the end of the season if they're going to stake a claim for the six. But yeah, I've got to go for Doncaster. I mean, I think Sheffield and Widnes are probably the two teams who are the most unsettled in the division at the moment in terms of personnel leaving, arriving. Obviously, Mark Aston situation, there's been more about that this week as well. So I just think Craig Lingard has had a near impossible job this season to kind of steer Sheffield into cleaner and better waters. So yeah, I've got to go for Doncaster.
I'm going to go for Sheffield, and I think that'll put a bit of a cat amongst the pigeons for Widnes. You know, like I say, as much as I say in this week that Widnes have got that four point buffer, if Sheffield win that one, all of a sudden it's 2 points and you're like thinking, oh, actually you are looking over your shoulder a little bit, but I think Sheffield will win. Now, Widnes York then, another tough home game for Widnes York. in good form, obviously coming off the back of that win at Wembley as well. They've now found their place in the table. They started the season a little bit. To be fair, they had a tough start. They played Oldham and Toulouse. They got spanked by Oldham. They lost by a point against Toulouse, and then they lost against Halifax. But they've, other than that defeat at Featherstone, I think, what are they on now? They've won 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They've won 11 of the last 12 games. So they've found their way. And I don't think much is going to stop them now between now and the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think that trophy, obviously, as well, at Wembley, you know, it was kind of put the cherry on the cake of what they've been working towards for the last, you know, 3-4 years. They've been bubbling away without being right at the top. And I do strongly believe, in my opinion, York, when they get in a playoff series, they're every bit as good as Bradford. Well, they've already shown that. I think they can beat Toulouse. I really think they could go all the way. And it's crazy to say, isn't it, from that very first game at Boundary Park when Oldham took them to the cleaners, but they just have this knack of growing into a season. Mark Applegarth is a great coach. He was on a hiding to nothing at Wakefield. I think he was a real smart appointment by them. I think Windhurst have got it all to do. I can't. Recent performances against York's form, I can't say anything other than York. All I will say is if Widnes win, it'll take a performance of the season type of performance to win that game.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to go with York, unfortunately, for that one. But hopefully Widnes will spring a surprise. Thanks, as always, Mike, for your company. And, yeah, we'll be back with your questions next week. So please do leave them on the Facebook page or get us on Twitter, etc. But thanks, Mike, and we'll see you at York on Sunday, and then you'll hear from us again next week.